Welcome to BDO in the Boardroom, a podcast series for board of directors and those charged with governance. Each episode features a topical discussion with board peers and subject matter experts on both trending and timeless boardroom issues, covering a myriad of issues, including, but not limited to, mitigating risk in the increasingly digital world, navigating your board career, from landing your first board seat to succession planning in support of the next generation, to other top-of-mind issues such as ESG reporting, shareholder activism, and the insights we share through the BDO Center for Corporate Governance and Financial Reporting. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. Let's get started.
Hi, and welcome to BDO in the Boardroom. I'm Amy Rojek, and I'm sitting down today with Emily Lucas of the Center for Audit Quality to discuss the changing landscape of generative AI and what this means for the board's oversight of financial reporting. But first, a little bit about Emily. She's a CPA and a professional practice fellow at the Center for Audit Quality and managing director within the National Quality Organization of Trust Solutions segment at PwC. Emily helps guide the Center for Audit Quality's professional practice and public policy activities as part of her two-year fellowship, of which she's about halfway through. So Emily, welcome to BDO in the Boardroom.
Thanks for having me today, Amy. Happy to be here.
Great. So we're going to kick off our discussion today with, I guess, a softball, if you will, just to make sure we're all on the same page. And maybe you can talk briefly about the basics of what generative AI is and what it is not.
Sure. So generative AI, or Gen AI, as we'll call it, is really a subset of artificial intelligence. It is a probabilistic technology that's trained on large data sets, and using those data sets that the Gen AI is trained on, when prompted by a user, Gen AI technologies make predictions. So they create text, they predict the next character, the next word, phrase, pixel, et cetera, to formulate a probable response to what the user has asked or prompted. So two, I'd say, examples of generative AI technologies that people are probably most familiar with at this point, ChatGPT and Copilot, are both two examples.
Now, great. So my understanding, generative AI is much different from other technologies that boards may have seen their companies be using in the past. And primarily, I think that's because there's such broad access now with the introduction of ChatGPT that it's literally available to anyone, you know, whether you have the kind of the free opportunity or whether you spend, you know, the money to get the more in-depth opportunity to use that. But maybe you share a little bit about that with us.
Yeah, so you're exactly right. So it previously, generative AI was only accessible to a much smaller population of people, really just data scientists. But with ChatGPT and now other technologies, it's really been made available to anyone and is accessible to be used by anyone. So this is what we refer to sometimes as democratized access. So that's right. That's one reason it is different than other technologies is that it's so accessible at this point. Another thing that makes it a little bit different from some other technologies that companies might have used or that boards may have seen their companies using is that it is predictive. So it is creating a probable response, as I mentioned, to what a user has prompted or asks. And one thing, you know, that's interesting is if a user asks the same question multiple times, due to the nature of this technology, they may and even are likely to get a different answer each time. So that's definitely something to think about as companies are using it and as boards are thinking about it and understanding it. So it does not work like a typical, like a search engine where you would, you know, input something and you would find facts within a data set. It's actually creating new, coherent, human-like text and content. Another thing that makes it a little bit different is that it is able, generative AI is able to accept unstructured inputs. So as opposed to maybe some other automation technologies that can only work if a task is performed the same way every time with no variations in inputs or structure of the data, et cetera, Gen AI doesn't have those limitations. So that makes it really, that's something that makes it different and you know, gives a pretty big opportunity for use cases, I would say, that's different than other technologies.
Maybe you can give us some examples of how we're seeing that being used. You know, some of the case studies with companies that are starting to beginning to use this technology.
Sure. So as I mentioned, because of some of the things that are different about Gen AI technology versus other technologies, it really does have significant potential for companies to enable certain employees, knowledge workers. So those are professionals who are generating value for organizations based on their expertise, their critical thinking, and their interpersonal skills. It's a really great tool for those types of individuals to help them perform their jobs more efficiently and effectively. So if you think about it in that context, financial reporting processes and ICFR are definitely areas that are going to be able to be enhanced through the use of generative AI. So when companies think about use cases, though, it's really important to keep in mind what generative AI is good at. So things like drafting content, summarizing data, working with unstructured data, uncovering trends or patterns or anomalies in large amounts of data that would otherwise be difficult or time consuming for human employees to do manually. So at this point, I would say companies who are deploying generative AI within financial reporting are generally initially using it to augment processes rather than fully automate them. So this is enabling efficiency, but it definitely doesn't eliminate the human judgment and decision making, which is important at this point, especially in financial reporting processes and ICFR. Humans need to continue to be involved to oversee and understand and evaluate the relevance and reliability of the outputs from this Gen AI technology. So maybe some specific use cases that we've seen. So we have seen, in terms of financial reporting and ICFR, we've seen companies using Gen AI to draft financial statement disclosures. We've seen them using it to draft code for reports that are used in the performance of an internal control. We've seen companies using it to summarize key contract terms and predict appropriate revenue recognition, to categorize expense transactions, and to prepare travel and expense reports based on employee receipts. So in each of these examples, the Gen AI technologies are used to prepare a first draft of something that's then reviewed by an employee with the appropriate knowledge and expertise. So because Gen AI, as I mentioned, is a predictive technology, it provides users with a probable response. So that means it's not going to be 100% accurate 100% of the time. So at this stage, at least, humans definitely need to still be involved in the process to review the outputs of the technology.
I think that's such an important aspect to bring in, especially to a board, because they need to really understand that, you know, the nuances of this technology as it's being utilized. Some, you know, people not understand the term garbage in, garbage out, right? So to the extent that this information that the AI algorithms are being trained upon isn't full integrity, where a lot of companies who have not yet done full data governance at the front end and are trying to utilize AI, I think they have to pause and go back to really basics on ensuring that whatever data they're using is clean. And then when they're looking at the actual algorithms and inputs, they really have to understand what those are based on, whether there's biases in the models, you know, all of the kind of the risks and opportunities that this presents need to be fully understood by management, and the board needs to be asking those questions of management to know, you know, what is the comfort level here? How do you know that the data that's going in is good? How do you know that the algorithms we're using will produce the proper results? Who's testing this? Who's looking at it? So all the kind of questions that a savvy board would ask whenever there's a new risk element being introduced, an opportunity element being introduced into their organization. So we always talk to our clients who, you know, maybe asking these questions is, you know, you treat this as any risk framework, right? You have the certain questions that you're mm-hmm. asking, but you also have to understand, you know, what are the technological aspects of this that you may or may not have the depth of at the board level. Would you agree with that, Emily?
Absolutely. I would say, you know, if you were to ask what should boards be thinking about with respect to Gen AI, I would say first and foremost, governance should probably be top of mind. Because, you know, as you mentioned, there's a lot there. It sort of starts at the top. So boards should be thinking about all of that, things like who within the organization, whether that's an individual or a group, is responsible for the oversight of the use of Gen AI, whether the company has developed a framework for the responsible use of Gen AI. So these things are all, like you said, sort of the same type of things you would think about in terms of any risk framework or any type of risk. Whether the company's established policies about the acceptable use of Gen AI and how the company monitors compliance with those policies. How is the company tracking and monitoring the use of Gen AI throughout the company, including by use by third-party service providers, which is an interesting one. Yeah. Because you may not have as much or a direct insight into that. So something to make sure that management and boards are focusing on. How the company identifies, assesses, and manages risks arising from the use of Gen AI. And then also, there's a lot of stuff going on from a regulatory perspective in this area. So making sure that companies, management are thinking about what the applicable laws, regulations are, any contractual agreements, and how those impact the use of Gen AI. Also, boards are probably going to want to be thinking about the expertise of individuals within the organization, like what expertise do those individuals have to select Gen AI technologies that are being used, to develop them if they're developing them, to monitor them and deploy them. This may, if there's not the right level of expertise internally, that may mean the company is or should be engaging third-party experts to assist with these things. And then, if companies are using Gen AI, they're certainly going to need to be thinking about training their employees on how to appropriately use it. So all things that the board should be thinking about with respect to, governance and what management and the company have in place to make sure that the governance structure is appropriate.
Yeah, and to be clear, we're now have moved into talking about the financial reporting aspects that companies are looking at, and that's been an environment that's very traditionally very well controlled by internal controls over financial reporting, and with introductions of new ways and new procedures and possibilities in terms of gathering information, this becomes even more important to kind of take a fresh look at all of these things and truly understand how, technology is now being utilized to pull together financial statements and how that is different from previous, and how controls more than likely need to be updated and newer controls need to be identified in terms of how information is getting from point A to point B, and what the compilation of that or the composition and calculations are doing to get you the final numbers that people are relying upon.
Yeah. Something else that is important from a governance standpoint is thinking about data privacy and security when companies are deploying Gen AI technologies. So, if the company's data and information is being input into the Gen AI technologies or is the basis for the training, it's important to make sure that there's appropriate privacy and security considerations around that information. So different Gen AI technologies offer differing levels of privacy and security based on their configuration. So some of the public instances of Gen AI, like the free versions that you mentioned, free versions of Gen AI chatbots and things like that, mm-hmm. They may track and save all the prompts and data that are input into the technology. And then those prompts can be used by the third-party technology provider to further develop their Gen AI model. But use of a private instance of Gen AI, such as something that's been developed by a third party or a custom Gen AI technology that's specifically developed for the company, those might be, in some cases, preferable, so the company has more control over how the information that's entered into the Gen AI technology is managed and saved. So just another thing for boards to keep in mind from a governance perspective and to understand how management's thinking about those things and making sure that the company's data is being maintained from a privacy and security perspective.
No, great points. So we, we're obviously auditors by nature. That was my original background before I turned to corporate governance matters. But so I guess, what about fraud? Are there any new fraud risks that are arising from Gen AI that boards really should be discussing with both management and the auditors?
So I would say Gen AI technologies can definitely introduce increased risks of fraud for companies. And those could include both frauds perpetrated by management and risks that the company could be a victim of fraud perpetrated by an external party. In terms of potentially fraud perpetrated by management, Gen AI technologies, they could impact incentives and opportunities or pressures for management or employees to commit fraud. In terms of opportunities, Gen AI technologies, like we said, they can create text, they can create images, they can create new content. So they could be used to create something like realistic but fake documentation for fraudulent transactions, which could conceal a fraud if an employee or management were perpetrating a fraud. There have also been recent incidents reported where external parties have used Gen AI technologies to create some kind of fake audio or video. So, for example, imitating a leader within the company, which was then used to persuade employees to provide money or confidential information to an unauthorized third party. So it's definitely important for boards to understand how management and the external auditor have considered evolving fraud risks due to Gen AI and how those new risks have been appropriately addressed.
And that's a great segue into what the audit profession is doing in this regard. And I know the Center for Audit Quality and the profession is involved in working groups. The AICPA has a working group on AI, which I know we're working together to understand like where the risks lie on the audit side and help promote good audit procedures and policies that can help those in the field really understand the depths of where these are going. So what questions and what procedures that auditors should be performing in the field with respect to this. I know the PCOB has a significant interest in this and has several projects on their agenda focused on technology, as well as the SEC from the public company reporting side of the house. So I think we're going to see a lot of developments in this area, and I think everybody needs to be really paying close attention to how this is developing. So with that, Emily, any final thoughts you'd like to share with our audience today?
Sure. As you said, all of this is rapidly evolving, the technology itself, the regulatory environment, the use cases. It's important, I'd say, for board members to stay up to date on the developments that are impacting their company and to regularly engage with management and their external auditor on the topic. Like you said, everyone's trying to, make sure that they understand how it's being used, understand the related risks, and that those risks are being appropriately addressed, from an issuer perspective, auditor, regulator, everyone, is thinking about that. So it's important that boards are staying up to date and engaged. And there's lots of thought leadership out there on this topic. I would encourage board members to check out the CAQ. We have recently published a paper, Auditing in the Age of Generative AI, that covers many of the topics we've talked about today. So that's available on our website, caq.org, as well as we are currently working on another publication, which is specifically focused on Gen AI topics that are relevant to audit committees. So that also will be published on our website. I think it's set to be released next month. So I would say be on the lookout for that, as well as any other, and a lot of other resources are out there. So just encourage board members to stay up to date and stay engaged.
Thank you, Emily. We will certainly post those links to the CAQ's publications and, be on the lookout further from BDO for invitations on a lot of webcast programming, individual board forums, and this will continue to be a hot topic for quite some time. So thank you for your participation and look forward to having you tune into more BDO in the Boardroom.
Thank you for listening to BDO in the Boardroom. Past episodes and related insights are available at bdo.com/BDO Boardroom. Or you can go to iTunes or Spotify to rate, review, and subscribe. The views expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect the views of BDO. For more information on the BDO Center for Corporate Governance and Financial Reporting and the resources we provide, visit bdo.com/BDO knows governance.